Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I welcome you on this very first day of July. And the 4th of July is right around the corner. It's a shame that it had to fall on a weekend day. So anyway, we are closed on Monday at Gateway for the most part, with the exception of my sales team. We will be here for most of the day. Unfortunately, we have to work when others are off. So that's kind of the way things go. We do give those people time off as well. They just take it later on in the month. But anyway, we're glad to be here and selling new Fords and new Nissans. I wish we could sell a lot more. They're just not out there on the lot. And that's a great deal of our frustration right now. And the frustration of every new car dealer that I know. Those of you who have been shopping for a new car understand what I'm talking about. Because they just aren't there. The inventories are really bottoming out right now. Even for Nissan dealers, we were kind of slow to slide into this chip shortage phenomenon. It was due primarily to the fact that Nissan received their microprocessors from a different source, and when that source in Japan caught fire, literally the plant caught fire, that was the death knell for chips from them. So Nissan is now struggling to get chips. They're trying to make sure that they have enough to just kind of keep a trickle flowing to dealers. Same as Ford. We do have a Bronco that is due any day. Should have been here this week, but it has not arrived as of yet, so we're still looking. You know, another thing that's starting to dwindle is the number of vehicles entering the auction market for new car dealers to go buy. It's down significantly. It's down 31% from the same week a year ago. 31%. So there's a lot of competition out there for fewer cars. That's why we've got folks right now responding to our offer to buy their vehicles. A lot of owners are taking advantage of that. I bought a Buick this week, an older Buick. Bought an F-250. What else did we buy? A Nissan Armada. And several others that I can't even think of right now. But folks are bringing their cars in that they are not using. And they're taking advantage of this hot market. Had a guy yesterday came into the dealership and was actually pulling a trailer, camper. And it was hooked to his 2018 Ford F-150. And he said, "What would you give me for that?" And it just so happened the value is just way more than what he thought. So he's actually buying an F-150 hybrid, one of these new 2021 models. Just amazing the difference in power. He's got a V8 engine in his, the 5-liter Coyote V8. That engine has about 400 and I think about 420 horsepower, about 460 foot-pounds of torque. The 2021 hybrid has about 480 horsepower and 570 foot-pounds of torque. It's amazing what that little electric motor can do to help motivate that 3.5-liter EcoBoost to even greater heights and do a much better job towing. Well, he also wanted to trade because the hybrid has the max trailer tow package. You know, if you're thinking about buying a camper, I remind people, make sure that your vehicle has the capacity to handle the weight of the trailer fully loaded. You know, sometimes when we go camping, just like when I go on vacation or with my wife, we always take more than we end up needing. And when you're camping, you tend to load up with a lot of other things. And then the tanks get full with nasty stuff and with clean water. And you load a refrigerator and put all your clothes and other things that you need when you go camping. It adds a lot of weight. So, you know, your camper may only weigh 7,500 pounds, but when you get it fully loaded, you know, it's 9,000 pounds. And if you're driving an older model half-ton pickup truck, then it may not be very suited to that. These warm temperatures can wreak havoc on the cooling system as well. So make sure that your cooling system is cooling the way it should. fresh antifreeze, you know, get a cooling system flush before you go out. Just make sure they get all the air out of the system. Sometimes they fail to do that, and that can cause an overheating problem to happen. So anyway, this is some of the stuff that's going on. I was looking at the concern overall of the dropping new car volumes. They always look at the annual sales rate. You know, how many, based on the current sales of this month, how does that annualize? And we've been tracking pretty much an 18 million unit new car year until this month. And major inventory drop-off has shot that number straight down to just over 15 million, which is really not a good year in the car industry, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So anyway, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you got slim pickings no matter where you go. But if you want to order something, you know, I personally think that's probably a pretty good strategy. If you think that you're in the market right now, for example, and it's just not out there, I don't think you should settle. I really don't. I think you should just wait and postpone that purchase until something's going to come in. Come into Gateway if you want a Ford or a Nissan. We'll be glad to order you a car. And at least it will be in the system, and it has a chance of getting picked up and built. You just don't know when the chips are going to flow into the factory to allow them to complete vehicles. And sold orders always take precedence over stock orders. So, you know, a sold order is something that's hopefully going to be delivered as soon as it arrives. You know, the customer's vehicle arrives, we do a pre-delivery inspection, and then we call them, and they come in, and we do the transaction, and the car's sold, and that's reported as a sale. A stock unit is something that we are going to, you know, put out here on the lot. And right now, there's not many of those out there. So if you're interested in a Chevrolet or a BMW or whatever, go ahead and order it. I mean, if you think you're going to... you're going to need it anyway, and it makes sense to you've got it handled financially. I mean, obviously, you need to make sure that it's something that you can afford. If you're, you know, really conscious about a monthly payment and stuff, get the numbers down pat. Realize that there will be a price increase in 2022 over the 2021 models. So, not always, but lots of times there is a price increase. So, but go ahead and order your car. You know, and if you want to order a Ford or a Nissan, like I said, call me. My cell phone's 552-2020. I'll hook you up with my son-in-law or my nephew or one of the many other people who work here and order vehicles and take care of our customers at Gateway. So anyway, we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back with this edition of My Car Guru. When you mail something, or ship a package, who do you use? Do you use the U.S. Postal Service or FedEx or UPS or something else? I guess a lot of it depends on what you're shipping. We certainly ship a lot of stuff, paperwork and, you know, contracts, and so much is done electronically now. Lots of times when you go into a dealership to sign your paperwork, it's going to be done digitally. Digitally. I said it faster that time. So that you don't really, you know, have to sign these multi-part forms. I remember our contracts used to have like 4 or 5 pages, and now most of them are just one. You know, you just sign a DocuPad thing. That's what it's called. And it's kind of like when you sign on a keypad at the gas station or something like that. And so I don't know why it took so long to get away from multi-part forms, but we sure had a closet back here that was full of them. And now that closet is looking emptier because we don't have to have as many multi-part forms signed. But anyway, when it comes to the delivery of things, the Postal Service is getting new trucks. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but boy, they must not care what they look like. They are not pretty. And now, I know beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but in the eye of this beholder, they're just ugly. The U.S. Postal Service is going to be buying new vehicles from a company called Oshkosh, and I thought they just made baby clothing, but apparently they make vehicles as well. And they're going to use Michigan-made engines and transmissions, which is good. I think it's important to buy as much. I mean, if it's for the U.S. Postal Service, for goodness sake, it shouldn't have a Subaru engine in it, should it? Well, guess who makes the engines and transmissions? You got it. Ford Motor Company is going to be providing the engines and the transmissions and a lot of other things for this company. It's actually called Oshkosh Defense. So it's a subsidiary of the Wisconsin-based Oshkosh Corporation. And they will be building these new Postal Service vehicles, which I say, when you see one, you're going to say, well, it's kind of cute in a horrible way. Anyway, it's built in South Carolina, which is also good. So that'll provide jobs in this country. Ford is providing components across both the internal combustion engine area and the battery electric vehicle area. So, you know, we could have a combination, or the Postal Service could have a combination of fully electrics, hybrids, and just the good old internal combustion engine. So I thought you might want to know about that so you can start shipping everything through the Postal Service because they're using Ford engines. Good move. So I was going through my email a few minutes ago, and I was looking at this program under which we will have a Ford Bronco, the new 2021 Ford Bronco, in stock that we can't sell. So, you know, since they're rolling these out slowly and the first 180,000 of these things are sold already, we need something for folks to look at. So Ford is sending one to every Ford dealer. And we have to keep it for anywhere from 6 to 8 months, which, you know, I'm going to enjoy driving it around and showing it to people, and I'm sure we'll be able to order a lot more Broncos because of that. What I was not real keen on was the fact that they're cramming about $5,000 worth of accessories for this Bronco down our throats. You know, occasionally that does happen. When a new vehicle comes out, the manufacturer who sells and manufactures and sells a lot of accessories. Now, when I say accessories, I'm talking luggage racks, running boards, you know, stuff that people will use. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people buying Broncos. Now, I realize it is an off-road vehicle, but how many people put a $2,900 winch on the front of their vehicle? You know, there's not a lot of school moms out there pulling themselves out of a ditch or somebody else out of a ditch. So I'll probably end up getting 50 cents on the dollar for that when I finally do sell it 7 years from now. But anyway, we do need to have accessories. They've got some LED light packages and different little trim things and rubberized floor mats and door guards. Like if you, on the new Ford Bronco, you can actually remove all the doors. I don't know why you'd want to do that. I saw a Jeep going down the road the other day with no doors. It doesn't look tremendously safe. But one thing that I did find out is when you do take the doors off of your Ford Bronco, you still have airbags, side impact airbags that pop out and will protect you. So that's a good thing. Hopefully people will wear their seat belts anyway. So the Bronco is going to come. Like I said, we should have gotten it this week already. Maybe it'll come next week, hopefully. But the accessory package is, it will appear on my Ford account statement, and I get to pay for those. And so we'll dress it up, and we'll have it here in the showroom, and, of course, we'll have it out on the lot. And I'm sure we'll be taking it to car shows for people to check out, as will every other Ford dealer in the market. You know, there aren't that many of us. There's one in every major town, and there's, you know, smaller Ford dealers up in what they call the Mountain Empire, you know, north of the Tennessee line up there in southwest Virginia. Quite frankly, there's probably more dealers than there needs to be in order to settle or in order to take care of the market. Each of us as a new car dealer are basically we're given an area of responsibility. Now, when I became the Ford dealer in Greenville, the Ford representatives presented me with a map, and they said, Lenny, this is where you are required to dominate the market. In other words, for every Ford that's sold in this market needs to be sold by you. Now, in real life, we know that that's not going to happen. There, people are going to go out of town sometimes because they feel like they can save money. You know, we have a lot of people. Well, quite frankly, about 45% of my sales come from outside of my area of responsibility. And that's way more than used to be the case. Back in the early days in the car business, you know, when there, basically the only forms of advertising were newspaper, radio, and TV, and occasionally maybe a direct mail piece or something, most, I'd say 98% of our business came from Greene County. And occasionally you'd have somebody shop from Johnson City or whatever. Those are called pump-ins. So another dealer is pumping in sales into my market. We also have something called pump-outs, and that's where I am selling cars into somebody else's market. When you look at the pump-ins and the pump-outs, and then you look at the ones that we have sold to people that live in our market, then that is our total market penetration number. And the manufacturer expects that to be 100%. So I need to at least sold 100% of the number of Fords that were sold in Greene County. Some of them could have been pump outs for me, and of course then you have to take away the pump ins because other dealers get credit for that. So if you are not sales efficient, then they come in and they talk mean to you sometimes. Not always. It depends on how bad the situation is. And dealers over the years have gotten terminated because they were not sales effective over a long period of time, and they wouldn't respond to the request of the manufacturer. Ford can actually take your franchise from you. So can Chevrolet or any other franchise holder. You know, all you are is a franchisee. We are not the franchisor. That's Chevrolet, if I'm a Chevrolet dealer, or General Motors. And if they want to take my franchise away, they have to have cause to do so. You know, some of the different reasons they could do that to a dealer, and it's happened in East Tennessee, as a matter of fact, is warranty fraud can cause you to lose your franchise. If you are saying that you are fixing customers' cars under warranty and you aren't, you're just turning in fraudulent repair orders to get paid, then, you know, that's just like stealing. And dealers have been terminated because of that. Dealers have been terminated because they were misbehaving in one way or the other, not supporting the factory, not representing the factory, losing their floor plan. You know, if you have a bank that is actually providing financing to finance the inventory, if a dealer fails to be able to get a floor plan, that's what we call it, then the manufacturer can terminate them for that. They can also terminate them if they don't have enough capital in their business. So they've got a long list of things that they could do that they could terminate a dealer for. And like I say, there have been several that has happened to them. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when the recession hit in 2008, 2009, General Motors filed for bankruptcy, and so did Chrysler Corporation. And General Motors, when they were coming out of bankruptcy, they decided they didn't need a lot of dealers. And they started this process of terminating dealers across the country. And I know numerous dealers, there were like three or four in this particular market that were told, we don't need you anymore. And so they were able to do that, and regardless of the lawsuits, it didn't matter. They had the power to do that. So we have to behave as car dealers, and that, you know, and most of the time that's not with regard to consumer issues. It's mostly with regard to not living up to your dealer sales and service agreement. And I guess, you know, if you're running a McDonald's franchise, you can lose that too if you don't behave. So, you know, it's not unique to the car industry. But just thought you might want to know a little bit more inside stuff about the car business. And we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, final segment here of My Car Guru. I was reading an article from Auto Remarketing. They're talking about the very best used vehicles of the year based on sales and also ratings that customers have given them. So you may own one of these, but for the year of 2021, the 10 best used cars are the Chevy Silverado 2016 through 2020, the 2017 and newer Ford Mustang, the 2016 and newer Ford F-150, the 2017 and newer Honda CR-V, no surprise there, 2015 and newer Jeep Wrangler. Boy, they sell good, and you know, regardless, they still own the market right now until the Bronco comes out. Then look out. The 2020 Kia Telluride, good luck finding one of those. That's one of the hottest selling vehicles on the market. 2016 Lexus IS, don't even know what that is. A 2018 Nissan Leaf, you kidding me? You know, the Nissan Leaf, they don't sell. I think in our market there was like one sold last month, so that's interesting. 2016 Subaru Outback and the 2016 and newer Toyota Highlander. So those are the highest rated used cars being sold out there. And if you own one, you can probably get top dollar for it. If you don't, good luck finding one, because right now the market is tough. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.